This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
And you're on Saturday Magazine with Ange and Macca. Macca, lovely to be with you and thank you for having me on the show with you today.
It's lovely to have you here and Ange actually likes being on air, you know. She does. Ange has a long community radio history and we'll talk about that a bit later in the show. Our next guest is Lord Mayor Sally Capp, no doubt with her face pressed hard against a glass window down in Dockland, Sally.
Oh, you know me too well. Good morning, Anne. Good morning, Macca. Happy New Year.
And to you.
And to you, Sally.
Now, Sally, I actually had a meal out in the city just before Christmas and I've been noticing around the city, you know, this the outdoor dining, but also in a lot of Melbourne's little streets, which we have so many of and lanes, there seems to be a bit of an outbreak of flora and fauna, and I'm really loving this. Mm. And I want this to stay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Macca.
I think it actually gives Melbourne a very different feel to what we've had before. And the outdoor dining, I want you to tell us, New Year's Eve was very, very different. How did it all work out, Sal? How did it all work out, you know, for the restaurants and the venues and the patrons? How did it all turn out?
Well, we were really pleased with it. And I think having just listened to Catherine, that one of the big success elements is that there were no outbreaks resulting from activities on New Year's Eve in the city. And that was certainly the number one aim and why we made the big decision not to go ahead with the fireworks. Normally 450,000 people surging through the streets of Melbourne, but this year we had about 50,000 people participating in our street feasts program across 11 different precincts and 50 different restaurants and cafes, and we think it worked beautifully. And certainly I could see the joy on people's faces as I walked around the city, and at midnight when people were celebrating the end of 2020, there was a fantastic feeling right across the city.
I'd like to be the person who repairs your shoes, Sally, because you do so much walking around the city. You must spend a fortune on shoes.
I'm on first name terms with Bruno. Right. My broken heels, green thread. He's an absolute legend.
Now, we know that, you know, before Christmas and the end of year broke, I think it was about 13% of workers had returned to workplaces in the city. We've seen the state government, and first off, I think, you know, the public service, I'm not sure what the state of play there is, but also larger businesses, there's a bit of a pause, I think, as to returning. Fill us in, Sal, on first, City of Melbourne staff. What are the sort of the proportions there, other than those that are normally out and about, but those that work in offices, and then what you expect and what you know is being planned for the return of workers to the city?
Mm. Well, we know how important it is to have our workers back, and normally with a million people coming into and out of the city, about half of those would be our city workers, and part of that is the City of Melbourne team. So pre-Christmas, we worked hard to bring 25% of our team back. And, of course, that means different things for different organisations. Many organisations are saying to their teams, choose the 25% of your time that you want to spend in the city, and then coordinating that across their teams. So that's not the same person coming in all the time. That's right. So they're starting to rebuild their teams and get people's habits and mindsets changed and welcome people back into a work routine. And certainly we did that pre-Christmas. We do know, though, and we know this from looking at other cities around Australia and the world, that there's a natural caution.
Mm.
So even as we see 50% returning from the 18th of January and that uplift, we know that there will be caution. And so building up the confidence in employees and employers is going to be really important. Everything from the moment people step outside their front door, their entire commute experience, whether that's on car, but the majority come by public transport, their experience in the city streets, which is why we've maintained our cleaning teams, and then what happens in the workplace, which is why those COVID-safe work plans are really important. If we can build up that confidence and we see that we can manage larger numbers of people coming into the city without there being the spread of the virus, then that momentum for return to work will, I think, rapidly increase.
Mm.
But if we can't do that, then we'll see this stop, start, stop, start.
Sure. Sally, I've working with Joy as a permitted workplace during the COVID times, I've been coming into the city, and it's interesting, of late I've been back on public transport, and I have to say I feel really safe, and I think that people are much more aware now of personal space and respect for personal space. And I definitely have experienced, you can tell by being in the city that there is certainly a hesitation for people to come back in. But I would say, you know, come back within the guidelines, of course, within the regulations. But by all means, please come back into the city, because it's like Melbourne is slowly coming back to life again. And, you know, we're starting to see our favourite cafes reopen, which is fantastic. You know, the shops are open. The only thing we need is the people now.
Exactly. Well, they're great observations, Ange, and I think you've really summarised there that whole spectrum of what people are feeling and doing. But we know that we need to bring back the buzz to Melbourne, and that only happens when people come together. We've always been a city and an economy and a culture that is about bringing people together.
Yep.
And so that vaccine and the confidence that ultimately will come from the vaccine, we think will be vitally important, because until then, the way that the situation constantly changes, and we're seeing Brisbane in hard lockdown at the moment, means that uncertainty still exists. So
yep.
We're doing everything we can. The state government is, lots of employers doing everything we can to provide those safe environments, COVID-safe environments. But we're very conscious of the uncertainty that exists in the community.
Yeah, look, it is a big challenge, Sally, because, you know, people's fears are real. You know, the danger is real, and we need to recognise that. And I think people are, you know, do finally realise that. I know in one sense we've returned to normalcy when we get a message from a listener with a specific question for you. Shows people are listening in.
Excellent. Yeah.
It says, I'm interested what's happening with the Elizabeth Street pedestrian works. I thought they would have been completed by now. And this is from a long-time resident on Flinders Street, Gavin.
Gavin, I'm with you. It's been very frustrating, the progress on Elizabeth Street, and it's not just that it was delayed because of COVID. We've had all sorts of plans that have had to change to deal with improving the drainage system around Elizabeth Street. You know Macca.
Yes.
I'm sure that Elizabeth Street's actually a river.
Yes.
Yes.
And whilst there's a road there now, that there's still a river that flows underneath it effectively through a drainage system that's 150 years old. And we've been coordinating in with Melbourne Water to actually find ways to improve the way that drainage works, both at a street level and what's happening underneath as it flows then into the Yarra. And that has set us back a bit, and it's very frustrating and unfortunate. We do start work there at the end of January. We were very conscious over December and January to keep as many works out of our city streets as possible as people came in to do their Christmas shopping and Christmas catch-ups. But we will start at the end of January and be very focused on those Elizabeth Street pedestrian works. It is one of our hotspots for all sorts of activity down there, and improving that pedestrian access, improving the or diversifying the level of activity that happens around that precinct, we think will be beneficial for lots of reasons. But it does go to one of your original comments, Macca, which I wanted to come back to, which was about the stencils of Australian fauna across our little streets, which is about pedestrianising. It is about creating more space for pedestrians, and it does change the nature of activities that happen in those streets, and Elizabeth Street will be a good example of that as we go forward.
Terrific.
Well, there you go, Gavin. You know when the works are going to recommence.
And call me out on it, Gavin.
Yeah, and you know, we get a lot of listener feedback, and we always welcome that, and it's always nice to be able to for someone to be able to ask a question of you. It's great.
Yep. Just to finish off, Sally, while we've still got you, obviously bringing back people to Melbourne, a big part of Melbourne's culture is events. And I understand that the City of Melbourne have some grants open at the moment.
Oh, money. Money.
There's money about. Grants are closing the 15th of January, so pretty soon. But I believe the purpose of the grants are really to help some smaller events get back up and running. Mm.
Yes, and again, you know, we've been such an amazing place for community organisations and cultural groups to be to activate the city, and the role that we play is very much as the facilitator. Then we don't always have to be the ones delivering the events. It's about really encouraging others to do their thing, to do what they're good at, to bring different activities and perspectives to the city. So as part of our recovery fund with the state government, we've set aside $2 million for these smaller grants. I mean, everything from $15,000 all the way up to $100,000. So there are some really good size grants in there. And it is for people and groups to come forward and say, here's something special that we can do to bring people back in a safe way, but nonetheless in ways that really keep reminding us and reactivating that wonderful sense of Melbourne and the things that we do so well.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Ange here in the CBD of Melbourne. We're speaking with Lord Mayor Sally Capp, and it's been a tough year, Sally. 2021 is going to challenge us again. Fortunately, and I know you won't comment on this, we're going to be rid of the kidnapped chimp, otherwise known as Donald Trump. But it's going to be a challenging year for all of us. And for the City of Melbourne, I know you work very closely with the state government and also with business, you know, big business and small business. What are some of the things that, you know, you as Lord Mayor and your team, the council want to achieve or get going for 2021 to bring Melbourne back? We've talked about some of the grants and things that are available, but some of the initiatives and plans you've got for Melbourne to restore Melbourne to what we all knew and love, because where it is at the moment, it's still the same city, it just doesn't have as many people or as much activity. So what are the plans?
Well, it's a great question, and we always knew that even at midnight on 31 December 2020, that didn't mean the end to the COVID impact on Melbourne, even though it was the end of that horrible year. And the economic impacts will have a very long tail as a result of the events of last year. And so our role is very focused on doing everything we can to what I call bring back the buzz, is to get us back to being a thriving Melbourne again. And there are going to be some ongoing frustrations to that, Macca and Ange. For example, we know we won't have the level of international tourists for a long time.
Yep.
We won't have the same international and interstate business activity that we used to have. We need to be focused then on our local tourism and visitation across Victoria and even around the broader metro Melbourne. And we need to be able to bring our workers back. Having said that, we also know that we've been for decades around the world talking about flexible work practices. And one of the things that COVID's done is actually accelerate that. So a big aim that we've had to be able to provide flexibility in working has come forward in leaps and bounds. And we need to make that something that is a positive for our city, not a negative.
Yes.
So from that, it's not just about encouraging workers that were have always worked in the city pre-COVID and getting them back. It is about looking at what are some of the new industries and new jobs that we can create within the city so that they can fill in the spaces of those who are working from home 2 days a week or 3 days a week, whatever it might be. So there's been a lot of planning going on and thought put into both the visitation, and we know that we still have a busy year of events planned. Of course, each day brings a change to those, and we're seeing some of the changes, for example, potentially to the Grand Prix. We're seeing a change to Australia Day in a couple of weeks because we can't have those big mass events at the moment. But we're still planning to go ahead with events like Moomba. It will look different, but nonetheless, bringing community together and having those celebrations that are like big stakes in the ground, we think are really important. So planning continues for those big events and supporting the tennis, for example. For returned workers, we've spoken about them earlier and all of the efforts going into creating a COVID-safe place. There is a new acronym out there, which is called TWOT.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Oh, dear.
It is, but it's very telling. And in the work world, that is Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Everybody putting in their plans wants to do Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And, of course, if we want to see major transformations for the city by, you know, an ambition is to reduce that congestion at peak times, then it's defeated if everybody continues to come in on the same day. So
correct.
Really spreading existing workers out across Monday and Friday. I've set Macca into a flap.
You want us to be a city of twats.
I think any of our English listeners will have fallen off their chairs at this stage.
Right, I'm sorry. So working very closely with returning workers to make sure we really spread ourselves out across the week and we can achieve some of those fantastic improvements to the city. And then we're looking at artists and creative organisations, cultural organisations, community organisations, social entrepreneurs, startups, people that had previously been priced out of the CBD office accommodation market, organisations that didn't think they could operate in the CBD, finding ways of welcoming them back into spaces that may otherwise be empty as a result of a change to work practice and filling our buildings and our streets again. And we know that that sense of renaissance often comes from those creative cultural organisations. Mm-hmm. And so we're putting plans in place to be able to welcome as many of those back into our city as possible.
Now, I had lunch yesterday, Sally, with a... actually, Thursday, with a significant business person. Operates a lot of businesses in the city of Melbourne and the surrounding municipalities. And... he had a lot of good things to say about the city of Melbourne and about you. So, big tick there.
Thank you, Macca.
He said the thing that will make the biggest difference to getting the city of Melbourne back on its feet to the Melbourne that we know and helping business, he said, is international students.
Mm.
He said that. Now, you know, we know that, you know, the challenges of that, the risks associated with that. But he said the sheer amount of foot traffic, but economic activity that those students generate and the jobs that they fill, he said, and this is from someone who knows, because that's the experience in his business, because when I said to him, well, what is the one thing that you think in terms of, you know, will help your businesses and the economic activity and the life of the city and the city of Melbourne? And he said... yeah, sure, it's offices and everything like that, but he said it's actually international students. He said that is going to make a huge difference to Melbourne.
Look, it's a really good point, and we have an opportunity given that we are a relatively safe destination now compared to many cities around the world to be able to welcome students back and actually use that as a way of attracting more. But, of course, the complication in the meantime is what happens with international travel.
Yes.
And we're seeing that change...
Change daily, yes.
That's another reason why elements such as the vaccine will be so important, is to try and bring some sort of regularity to international travel, to be able to welcome international students back into Australia with confidence. And we are certainly working with the federal government and state government around what a trial would look like, which was planned. I think at the moment that may have been delayed a little bit. For how we can do that well. If students do need to go into 2 weeks quarantine, how can we all play a role in making them feel welcome and providing information and interactive experiences, so that even if they're sitting in a hotel room, they're learning more about their city and the culture here in Australia, and they're having an introduction into their study, and we make that process work seamlessly. And I have to say that those plans have been underway, but of course the current situation means that that may be delayed a little bit. It's absolutely critical for our city, for our education institutions, but also all of the little businesses that our international students support and the work that they do. But one thing I think we do, or we have, many of us have forgotten, and I'd just like to call it out, is that many international students didn't leave Melbourne.
No.
They weren't able to leave Melbourne during COVID last year. They were, in a sense, trapped here. And I think we could really do a lot better at the way that we support and include and take care of the international students that are here at the moment, and use that as a new platform for the way that we respect and regard our international students as we move forward, because they have been forgotten and neglected in so many ways. When we did our food vouchers for international students as an effort to help them, we had a line that went completely around the block of Swanston to Russell, Collins to Little Collins, of kids lining up waiting for that support.
I know, it's extraordinary.
And that was a very visible indication, of how many are still here, and we do need to take care of them.
Yeah. We had a message from a listener about international students, and the reality is that there is a shift in a lot of the universities away from the Asian market, you know, whether that's India, Southeast Asia, China, mainland China, wherever, that there's a bit of a shift away from that because of those travel restrictions, but also finding other sources of students. But I think we do need to look after the students that are here, and that's a focus. And I know that it's something you keep your eye on, Sally. We've got another one from a listener that there's a rumour that Joe Biden would like to come back to Australia. He came here a year or so ago, but that Kamala Harris definitely wants to come to Australia. Now, you've got to make sure she comes to Melbourne, Sally.
Oh, yep. What a great rumour that is.
And, it's actually got it's got little baby legs at the moment, but, you know, they've got a bit on their plate. But I would suggest that one of the places, if she wanted to come to Australia, she'd absolutely want to come to Melbourne. Why would she want to go anywhere else?
Yeah, I agree, of course.
Yeah.
So much to learn, so much to share, so much fun to have. And what an extraordinary time, not just from a virus perspective, but all of the geopolitical developments and I think some stark realisations for everyone around the world, but also for Australia, in the way that our relationships are oriented and how we interact with the world. I think that sense of globalisation will need to continue, particularly from Australia's perspective, and making sure that we've got good, strong relationships in place is going to be really important. I'm skating across or around the edge of where you love to go, Macca, on these issues.
Perhaps you could invite the Donald down here. You know, he could...
I think certainly welcoming the new leadership of yes. the United States of America to Melbourne will be a fabulous thing. We had the most amazing response to having Jacinda Ardern speaking at Melbourne Town Hall last year, and that's really been something that then has then stayed on our agenda when it's possible, is how can we have more of those fabulous public lectures where we can have world leaders come in and make them accessible to the people of Melbourne. That would be just fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I suggest you write to her, Sally.
I thought I'd moved completely off track for you then.
No, no, that's good. look, once again, thank you for your time. Thank you for your work. I know, you know, you're wearing out a lot of shoe leather. Bruno loves you when he resoles your shoes, but...
he does.
You know, you're out and about. People see you out and about, and that's a really good thing. And the feedback I've had is very, very positive about what you, your councillors and the council officers are doing. It's a very positive thing.
Thanks. It's a big effort, and that needs to continue, doesn't it?
That's what we want. So thank you again.
When are we losing you? Just as a quick question.
Well,
when do you move?
I think
we're not losing you.
We are going to do... We will do a final Saturday magazine show from Joy. And then the following week, probably, we will do our first... show, first live broadcast from the Pride Centre will be Saturday Magazine. So you're going to be on both.
Yep.
Wow.
So and you'll be the one here. We're going to.
The building looks magnificent.
It is. We're going to try and do the final one here on the roof. So just let the council people know we want to do it on the roof, Sally.
Is this your permit request?
Oh, look, I think that what's going to happen is that you're going to try and push me off.
Not at all. Never.
I think, Sally, time-wise, we'll probably finish up here somewhere towards the end of March and be kicking off from the Pride Centre in April. So we've got a little bit more time here.
Plenty of time. But
well, it's sad and exciting all at the same time.
But we'll definitely have you in the studio, whether it's indoors or outdoors, here at City Village before we go.
Terrific. All right.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you both. Happy New
Year, Sally.
To everybody, and look forward to our ongoing interaction.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.